Thank you so much, Reverend Gaines, and to the entire society of the Germantown Unitarian. I'll begin by asking everybody who is able to stand so we can be able to pray a prayer of wisdom before I start. Only if you're able to stand. And I'm going to pray in my language, my Luganda, and I'll only ask you to do one thing at the end, to say Amen. Nkama nkwebaza, kubanga tulese wano encha ya olwaleero. Tuli abantu omu okuva okusooka yonna n'okutuuka wano we tuli. I pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge at the same time for all the people that are here this morning. And everybody say Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's another moment of truth in my life as well to be able to stand here and be a testimony of the many things that are very good into our faith. Thank you, Reverend Case, for all the preparations. And at the same time, everyone who is here, that you've been able to honor, not to stay in bed, and then you've been able to come over here to have a fellowship of this morning. I said thank you so much, and the choir as well. The faith we are in today calls for us for several important things. And if somebody told you, I'll ask you to be able to speak about the importance of this faith. It could be something very wide enough, but at the same time, I was able to compress it into something small according to the way it is more important to me. One of the several things that I discovered into the face of Unitarianism is one above the so many. That is the unity and the diversity that we find in. Is that okay? It is one of the many faiths that embraces unity and diversity among so many other things and values of this faith. And it's that reason that I do cherish it so much. And I always say, this is the good news that I have to preach as long as I live. I've tried so much to preach the same message in my country, where I want to see reconciliation, where I want to see that men and women always come together into the same fellowship, disregarding their background and the issues that really disunited us before. If you try other faith religions, you won't find much of this unity and the diversity that I'm going to concentrate on this morning. I have 37 years for today, as you see me here. And I just growing up like a little boy, like Mitch, what is the name of our boy in the house?
Micah.
Also, my mother took me to school to be able to understand so many other issues of the world. Those are the issues that were beyond our house. And I went to school, and by the end of my schooling, at first, I had graduated as an electrical engineer. My mother was so kind also that she took me to church. At that time, the only church she knew and still knows is the Catholic Church. And I was very obedient to go with her as well, but never again. However, under all those backgrounds, as trying to venture into the world when I was young and a teen, I realized that so many things were not the way I always wanted them to be. Some of them were totally beyond my understanding, and some of them were not really to my norms. Among them, I had to leave the Catholic Church to join the Evangelical Church, because those people over there, they knew very well how to clap. And our church didn't do that. And I said, I'm going to go to the church where they are clapping people. And at the same time also, I realized that my church, I couldn't serve in as a minister. So also, I had to leave that, and I went to the Bible College to do training to become a minister within the evangelical setup. But most importantly, above all, nothing much was of great value, because I continue to see lots of inequality amongst the society. And I said, no, for me, I'll be able to leave and go and try to find something that was the value of my life. All over the world, many people are struggling. And much of the struggle is not because they don't have food on their plates, although it's not because they don't have cars to drive, just like many cars here in the United States. But there is something that is not fulfilling their lives. And that has been segregation and discrimination. Some of those issues can hardly be seen physically. It's always internal. When somebody faces segregation or discrimination, sometimes you may not be able to see it physically. But it's something emotional, psychological, and spiritual. And having been a minister into the Christian evangelical setup, I came to realize how people are really being segregated or discriminated in one way or another. And that's why we had to start a church in Kampala that is under the same understanding of our faith, really carrying the values of Unitarianism. And our foundations are very simple and quick. That is love, peace, unity, and reconciliation. I want to tell you, my friends, this morning, that unless we come to terms to understand that we are so many people of different diversities, different backgrounds, but at the same time, we belong to the one earth. And that's where you and I are seated on. But under those backgrounds at the same time, there are men and women all over there who wishes others not to be included. What makes them happy is to discriminate them. And so many people, very important men and women, have been able to speak, to try to see that all men and women on this earth could be able to forget their background and be able to come together as one. One of the freedom fighters on the African continent, and who also excelled to be a fighter all over the world, is called Nelson Mandela. And one other time, he was imprisoned for 27 years. I don't know, for people who are 27 years, you can imagine somebody is in jail, 27 years. If you are 50, shoot 27 years, so you can know the meaning. But when he came out of the jail, and some people thought, now this is going to be a disaster. Now he has been let out. This is the first word he said. He said that South Africa is a rainbow nation. That meant that he recognizes the differences of the people that exist in that country. That no matter what he has gone through, everyone needs to find a place in that country. It was in 1994. In 1995, South Africa wrote the first constitution that embraced everyone, black or white, rich or poor, gay or lesbian. And it's the first country in that continent to recognize civil unions and marriages of the LGBT people, just because of one person. There has been also other people who have been able to try and preach the message of unity, trying to understand that nevertheless, we are men and women of different backgrounds, but at the same time, we must embrace unity. And the former Secretary General, Kofi Annan of the United Nations, this is what he had to say. We may have different religions, and we may have different colors of skin, but we all belong to one human race. About 4,000 years ago, it could be difficult to understand this. About 2,000 years ago, some of you may be able to have only that history from there. But maybe 2,000, many years ago, but if you get to find the church history, some of these people also didn't like the gospel, the preaching, the teaching, and all the form of discrimination. And I'll be having a permission from him to quote from the Bible, right from the First Corinthians and chapter 1. One of the writers of that good book and called the Bible, he was called Saint Paul. And at one time when he wrote to the Corinthians, this is what he had to tell them. And he wrote like this: unity and diversity in the body. I read, you listen, okay? Just as one body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is God. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so one form of body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Amen. Amen. The problem of that time in the church of Corinth, 1,000 years ago, was the problem of the Jews and the Gentiles, slave and free. But the problem of the church today, especially this one of the German town, although there are no Germans I've ever seen here since I came yesterday or the other day. The problem of the church is not all slaves, is not Gentiles, is not free, all those in bondage. If Paul had to write to this church, this is what he would have written. Whether gay or lesbians, black or white, we all belong to one spirit. You hear me? That's what he would have written. That means all over the world, from so many years ago, there has always been a problem of embracing one another. And as a church, our commitment and our needs, what we have to focus on, especially in this 21st century, has to do with people forgetting their background and embracing unity. Isn't that good news? Say it all like this. Maybe we need to bring some breakfast over here. Some people seem not to have had breakfast. Luckily enough, in the house of the minister, I had a good chocolate and some cantaloupe to eat, and I have to be waken up. So these are the issues that are now troubling us. In my country, Uganda, which seems to be more or less the same here in the United States, we are fighting the values to understand what is the importance of someone's faith. Is it a faith that you received to be a tool to discriminate or to demonize other people? And the answer has to be no. In Uganda, since last year, I have been fighting with other men and women because someone and somebody had an intention to exclude other people from the society simply because of their sexual background. You hear me? These were not because they are not human beings, not having the same brain, the same feelings, and a desire to live, just because someone thought that the gay and lesbians do not deserve to exist and to live in Uganda. And this is what they had to do, was to go ahead and draft a bill which they called the Anti-Homosexuality Bill. And their intention was, one, to stop homosexuality. When I was here yesterday, I asked the minister, how do you stop homosexuality? Because the bill said anti-homosexual. That means you stop. And I don't know how to stop it. But since I'm in the Germany town and there are no Germans, you may be able to teach me that. And the bill didn't have anything else that he was intending, was just to make sure that the unity the people of Uganda have had, in spite of the differences, let's say on tribal lines, they wanted to see them being divided simply because somebody is of a different sexual background. And these men and women, they used Christianity as their faith, and there were evangelical pastors and ministers from the United States who went over there. And they say, let us use Christianity and be able to preach to these people and be able to divide them. And that's why I say it is so graceful and so important that our faith as Unitarians always encourages unity in diversity. It is something very important and of the good value that everybody should cherish now and again. Isn't that good? Good. We have achieved several things. When I look here in this country, there has been some achievements on issues that really divided you before. And if you know your history very well, you will know what I speak about. I don't want to teach you about your history because you won't pay me school fees for doing that. But I know you know that history, how you were able to be divided on lines of just minor issues. But we have been able to overcome some of those issues even in my country. Here in the United States, it was very difficult to see a black man seated alongside the white man. Those are some of the issues that divided us. And to begin with that, you were having an issue of trying to stop inequality that was here when your forefathers were trading into slavery. However, as we have tried to make some transition to see that now people of the same color can be able to sit together and be able to come to compromise on some of other issues, at the same time we see other people are coming up with issues that are continuing to divide us. I want to tell you, men and women, this point, that if you just keep quiet at one time, even just one moment, and you leave some people who talk a little bit recklessly to have an audience and the assumed responsibility of leadership in this country, we're going to stumble back. You hear what I'm saying? We're going to walk back. In this state and other surrounding states of recent, like New York, the gay people have been able to receive what we call marriage equality. That's an achievement. But I want to tell you, if you don't remember and recognize the issues that some of them divided us and divided you on those lines, even the little achievements you have attained now could be taken away. Yesterday I was showing a movie here for those who aren't able to come, and we were able to see one of the evangelical pastors who were very successful in campaigning to overturn the success of gay marriage in California. And he's called Lou Engel. He's a very powerful man and he's based in Kansas City. But he worked very, very, very strongly with other evangelical pastors who went to Uganda and were starting to stir up the issue of homophobia over there. Luhengo worked very well and strongly with one of the ladies I always see on the television, and she wants to have one of the biggest offices in this land. And her name is called Michelle Bachman. I want to make a case now. If you want to leave such a people to have audience and be able to talk, even the little achievement we have had that allows integration of community and society, we may end up to lose it. So we must stand together and we'll be able to say no and no. If you give them audience, like her and her husband, who have a clinic that is turning gay people into straight people, which I don't understand, it is going to be a big problem. You hear me? It's going to be a big problem. Therefore, it requires a comprehensive unity, disregarding our differences, so that we may be able to stand together and proclaim our liberty that we have on this earth. And there should be no man or woman to come and deceive you that I can be able to perform this kind of therapy and we'll be able to turn into something else. It's a losing game, I tell you. You hear me? Because I know what people are going through when somebody is trying to demonize them. I know what happens to other people when somebody does not recognize exactly who they are. If you were someone here and you were a white man and somebody say, you are not white, you are green, you don't feel well, do you? No. So if someone says, you are a gay man or you are a gay woman, and they say, that's not your sexual orientation, man. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do some therapy and you turn something else. That's denial. You understand? Yeah. That's denial. And at some point, it inflicts pain into somebody's heart. You may not be able to see it physically, but deep inside, somebody is suffering. Because he's not able to stand and manifest he or she is. Therefore, as I'm able to conclude my sermon this morning, I want us to be one person. I want always to recognize that we will always have differences, but the differences should not be able to divide us. Someone may be able to preach and teach differently. That, for example, there is a big issue of sex and sexuality. Someone may be able to define sexuality in just one way, that sexuality means heterosexual. And someone else may be able to define that as a transgender. Another person may be able to understand that as being bisexual. I want to tell you that human beings are so bigger than you can ever define them. You understand what I say? They are so big. Could be that's the little what you know. But when you allow yourself to make research, you will find that human beings are totally so much bigger than you have ever expected. And that is my faith, and that's what I believe. And it's the most important thing that I'm a Unitarian. Isn't that good? Yeah. Yes, it is. For me, it's good, and I don't know what is good for you. Yes, I know sometimes when you live in German city, you may not understand exactly what's going on. Because you came into someone's city, and you know very well that the Germans have to be over there, but you're an American, and you say, I'm going to be here also. Well, it's good for you to stay there. But the good thing is that to know, in spite of the fact that you're an American, you are living in a German city, you must leave also the Germans to live alongside with you. And you have done that. I haven't seen any fight. I want to tell you quickly a little bit of the issues that we've been struggling with in Uganda as a church, and as I try to conclude. That our church is taking care of orphan children in a school of 550. And at the same time, we have an orphanage home of 23 children who are sick with AIDS, that a virus that causes AIDS. We have been very graceful to do that, and we are continuing to do it. And until we are unable to do it, we are going to make sure that we preach the message of reconciliation, love, and unity among all men as long as we exist on this earth. Thank you so much for listening to me.